Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There are some commentators who take a dim view of the disciples for going fishing. An aimless activity and waste of time, one commentator said. And in our bulletin for this morning, it says, the disciples perhaps abandoning their mission in order to return to their fishing boats, etc. I'm sure Pastor Ted did not write that. Because as a fisherman, I disagree completely with those critical sentiments. As a fisherman, I know that there can be something healing about wading in the waters of a stream, or sitting in a boat on the waters of a lake, fishing. So it is along these lines that I think about the disciples in the story recorded in John chapter 21. As our text for this morning. So I invite you for a little while today to put yourself in their boat, so to speak, and go fishing with them and with the master fisherman, Jesus. When you think about what their situation had been for the last couple of weeks, you understand that it had been very tumultuous. On Palm Sunday, together with their leader, Jesus, they had been welcomed into the city of Jerusalem to the shouts and acclamations of the people. On Thursday, they shared that Last Supper with Jesus. Then on Good Friday, their Lord was crucified. He died. He was buried. They were huddling together out of fear for the Jews. And then on that first Sunday, there Jesus appeared among them, resurrected from the dead. And then as soon as he was there, he was gone again for a whole week. And he shows up the following Sunday and reveals himself again to the disciples when Thomas was present. And then once again, he disappears. So I think for Simon Peter and those other six disciples, it had been a tumultuous time and they needed some space to kind of put things together. They needed some time to clear their heads and put things in a new perspective. And what better way to do that for them than to go fishing? I'm glad that they went fishing because it set up an opportunity for them to learn some valuable things about being disciples of the master fisherman, Jesus. So I think if we get in their boat, we too will discover what we might learn as well from Jesus, the master fisherman, about being his disciples. I want to call your attention to a couple of the details in our text as we go along. Verse 3, after Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing, and they said to him, we'll go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but all that night they caught nothing. Now, since there were seven disciples in this boat, I kind of picture the fact, and picture it this way, that two of them would have been casting the nets, two of them would have been drawing the nets in, two of them would have been rowing the boat, and there would have been one that would have kind of been directing and overseeing what was going on. But no matter how hard they tried, no fish. And do we have any fishermen in the congregation this morning? One, two, three, four, five, six, a few. Well then, some of you realize that probably the most advantageous time to catch fish is under conditions of low light. because when the conditions are darkened, the fish are less wary of the predators. They come up into the shallows, and they are more likely to be caught. Well, I can identify with those disciples in that boat who had been fishing all night to no avail, because there have been times, too, that I have been skunked. And I remember one time in particular that this happened to me. It was at a pastor's conference, of all places. The pastor's conference was a three-day conference, and it was in Hood River, and there was some designated free time. And my pastor friend at Hood River was a guy by the name of Roger Sylvester, and he was a very capable fly fisherman. So he called me up a few days in advance of the conference, and he says, "Hey, Schomburg, let's go fishing." So I packed my gear. The time came for us to leave the conference. We were in Roger's home territory. We went on the Hood River, up above Hood River, the town, and we were fishing for steelhead, and lo and behold, Roger caught one. But I didn't. But that was okay, because we were having a great time. It was time for us to go back to the conference, and everything was great until the following morning. Just as I was leaving breakfast, one of the good brothers grabs me by the arm and says to me, "You went fishing yesterday with Roger, didn't you?" I said, "Well, yes, I did." "Well, how many fish did you catch?" I said, "Well, I caught one less than Roger did." His grip got a little bit tighter, and he said, "Well, how many fish did Roger catch?" I said, "Well, he caught one more than I did." And then his grip got really tight on my arm, and he said, "You didn't catch any fish, did you?" I said, "No, I didn't catch any fish." Then he loosened up on his grip a little bit, and he said to me, "Well, you know, Roger is a pretty good fisher." Now, if that statement was intended to make me feel better, it didn't. Because I felt like saying in response, "I know that Roger is a good fisherman, but I'm just a poor, miserable sinner fisherman without any merit or worthiness in me." For some reason, I don't know why, that was probably the worst experience I've had of not catching fish. So I can identify with those disciples in that boat. It says that they had been out there all night. That's 8 to 10 hours. Cast after cast after cast after cast. Nothing. And then our text says in verse 4, "Just as the day was breaking, the sun was just beginning to come up over the horizon." Jesus was standing on the shore. But the disciples, our text says, did not know it was him. They were not expecting him to show up. They weren't looking for him. They had no idea that he would be there. So the natural question to ask is, when was the last time that Jesus showed up in your life unexpectedly? Well, the answer to that question is really easy. He never left you. He's always been with you. Isn't that the last thing that Jesus said to the disciples before he ascended into the heavens? "Lo, I am with you." Sometimes. No. "I am with you always, even to the close of the age." So the real question is, when was the last time you were not aware of Jesus showing up in your life? Well, I have to put myself in the boat with those disciples. Because I know that there are a lot of times I just forget He is with me. And I know that there is a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry that I could spare myself if I would just but remember this one simple little truth. The Lord is with me, and so also with you. Now it says in our text that Jesus calls out to them from the shore. They still don't know it's Him. What is probably the most commonly asked question that fishermen are asked? How did you do? How many fish did you catch? Did you have any luck? And it's exactly that question that Jesus puts to the disciples. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's a little detail like this that makes this seem so real, that it really happened, because it's so natural. He said to them, children, and we're going to come back to that word in just a little bit, because I think it's pretty significant. Children, do you have any fish? And they answered, no. I'm kind of wondering if maybe they said a few more things than that one word answer that aren't recorded in the Holy Bible. But that's what their response was. So He said to them, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and they were unable to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Again, I know from personal experience that sometimes it's just the difference of a few feet, sometimes just a few inches, that makes all the difference between catching fish and not catching fish. Now, most people, before they jump into the water, take their clothes off. But you notice what Simon Peter did? He put his clothes on. I think he was so overcome with excitement. And again, this is just a little detail that why would it have been recorded unless it would have happened? It's real. It happened. There was a group of disciples who followed their Lord and Master, Jesus of Nazareth, through Palestine. It really happened, just like it said. So when Peter and the other disciples arrived on shore, what was it that they discovered? Jesus had built a fire, a charcoal fire, and on that charcoal fire was what? Some fish. Where'd those fish come from? Jesus had already been fishing. I love this next part where it says, come and tempt us. None of the disciples dared ask Him, who are you? For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus took the bread and gave it to them, likewise the fish. Would there have been any other things that the disciples might have thought of when Jesus did that? Like maybe the feeding of the 5,000? Or the Last Supper. And remember how Jesus addressed them as children. I think we will always be children in terms of our relationship to our Lord and Master. We will always be the ones in need of His care and guiding and direction. I have 3 daughters and 5 granddaughters. And the youngest granddaughter, name is Lila. She just turned 2 years old. And last Sunday, they were over at our house, and Lila wanted to go for a walk. So we went outside, and I told Lila that she had to hold my hand, especially when we were crossing the street. But you know what Lila wanted to do? She wanted to pull her hand back. She did not want to take my hand, especially when crossing the street, because she wanted to do it her way. And so I had to be pretty insistent on taking a firm grasp on Lila's hand and saying, "No, Lila, I am going to hold your hand." Isn't that the way it is with us and our gracious God? But sometimes in life we want to do things lightly, and I don't want His help. May we always be little children in need of His guiding and direction, and may we always want to take and hold on to Him, because it is the difference between our eternal destiny. So, the final detail in our text is that there were 153 large fish, and it says that the net was not torn. I thought this was an unusual detail, and so one of the commentaries I checked said that according to the Greek philosophers of that day, they counted 153 known species of fish. So I think there's something symbolic here in the record that there were 153 fish caught in this net, and that it's symbolic of all the peoples of the earth, from all walks of life, that our Lord seeks to draw them all in His net. And it says the net was not torn, that His love encompasses all varieties of people from all walks of life, and that in Him we find our oneness and our unity. In our epistle reading, or in our first lesson for this morning, we have the story about Saul's conversion and God's call of Ananias. Two individuals who came within the net that God threw out and drew to Himself and used for His purposes. May you and I be taken in by the net that our master fisherman throws over us. May we be taken into His net again and again and drawn all the way to eternal life. And may He use us also to draw others in. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.